a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality. Something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that are passionate because.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Show me Acts chapter 26. Show me verse 10. Next verse. Please be moving fast. Next verse. Next verse. Sorry. Show me verse 6. Acts chapter 26, verse 6. Have you written it down? Oga. Me wolf targa now. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our what? I love this scripture so much. Sometimes I will study the Bible and the honey there. Do you like honey? Is there anybody here that hates honey? You hate honey? Why? It's like poison. Which one is in fructose? Huh? Fructose and glucose. I think is majorly fructose. The difference is fructose. Amen. The answer has been gotten. Amen. Okay. So this is my point. The word of God is sometimes is like honey. But even though honey is very sweet, you cannot drink it like water. Is it not true? Sometimes you lick it. You wait small for it to digest. That's how I see the word of God. It's too sweet. I appear in the world not just for knowledge, but there is something it does to me. Like somebody that ate his best, your best meal. Have you eaten your best meal before? That's if he opens. So if he's locked, if the scripture is locked, it is the worst experience you can have. You just be running around and nothing open. And you can run that around in your Christian walk with God for 25 years and you did not make any progress. Is that okay? Very good. Are you following me? And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto what? Our fathers. Have you ever checked a damn self? Have you ever? Okay. Oga, have you ever checked a damsel before justice? You see, our holy men. Amen. Listen. What I'm trying to say is, there is something Paul is trying to say here. He said that God made advances to our fathers. The best way I can communicate this kind of advances is like a man that is trying to check a damsel. Like the people online, explain to them, the people that know what is checking, explain. I just want to choose this word because he's lending the best. Because at checking, there is nothing really much that is going on. The lady can reject. Am I correct? And the man will go his way. If the man has decided that he will marry this year, he will leave that damsel that did not accept the checking and move to another one. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Some people refused to leave and became old. That's a topic for another day. If you can't leave a damsel, something is wrong with your heart. As soon as you hear no, move. You have a weak heart. Anyway, okay. Chike with all your life. Anyway, it works for you. Anyway, it works what for? For you. Sometimes things don't work and then you keep trying and then it works. Glory to God. So, but my point here, if a damsel says no and you refuse to release that damsel, something is wrong with your heart. It means first that God has not owned your heart. Because if he has owned your heart, a damsel cannot hold it. So if a damsel refuses, you ask God. If God says, I'm no more here, you move. Even if God says, I'm there, you say, Lord, I'm not leaving my heart, I'm moving. She's the person, tell her to run and follow me. I know sisters will not like this. You people like people that will mesmerize your heart and mind and beat you up in the marriage. People without the fear of God. If a man can hear God to that point, can fear God to that point, you can be rest assured he will do his duty in the marriage. But on another degree, on a life, shawarma, your, let me leave you. I have noticed that ladies, they know. There's nothing I want to say here you don't know already. But they will still do it. When you do it, you will be part of what the body of Christ will use to learn to become better. You are not hearing me. If you don't hear me, if you don't learn now, you will learn again. But as you are learning the second time, the body of Christ is learning from you. My own job is to make sure it doesn't happen first. That's my job. I'm a gatekeeper. I'm a watcher. Let it not happen. If it happens, but you will not hear me. You still want to test. You know, we went to do baptism and somebody saw water like this and he was looking shallow. Say, you want to put your leg. The problem with that kind of water is that if you touch it, it's shallow. The next step will take you away and you will never know. Okay. I know you have checked the dams. You must have checked. How did you marry your wife? If you didn't. Pastor Jasper. What the scripture is saying here is that from one generation to another, from one family to another, God was making advances to the patriarchs. And the best way I can explain those advances, you know why I said all this story moved there, is so that you will never forget what I'm teaching. Even if you forget it, this little digress will keep it in context in your mind, in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? God went out of his way to make an advance to the patriarchs. And anybody that accepts his advance, he will give the person a promise. Let me say it again. God met the patriarchs like a man is shaking a woman. God made an advance to the patriarchs. Are you getting the point? And anybody that accepts, any of the patriarchs that accepted that advance, God gives that person what? A promise. The content, the letter content of that promise varies from one patriarch to another. But the substance is one. The substance is Christ. Let me start again. Are you with me? God made an advancement to the fathers. Look at what the scripture is saying. And now I stand and am judged for the hope. I'm still coming God unto our fathers. So it means that God made promise to the fathers. Am I correct? And they began to have hope from that day, that the promise that God made will come to pass. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, I told you that every time God made an advance to the patriarchs, maybe Abraham, these the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, there are many. Are you getting the point? Ezekiel, Jeremiah, anytime God made David, God made an advance to the patriarchs. What it means to accept, I was telling them in the morning Bible study, what it means to accept varies from one person to another. Are you getting what I'm saying? The scripture said, for an example, that Abraham believed God and it was counted for him as what? Righteousness. There are several other demands that God made on the patriarchs, and the patriarchs are not only male. According to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that is a roll call of the patriarchs. And you will see there that people like Rahab were there. People like Ruth, there are many. They are there. Are you following me now? These men and women, Deborah, they are counted as the patriarchs. And you will notice that God made an advance to them. And the advance that God made in them came in many shades. Sometimes he makes a demand from them. Sometimes he gives an instruction to them. Sometimes he cuts a covenant with them. Sometimes he commands them to live in a particular way. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Sometimes he tells them, leave your country. Now, leave the letter. Are you with me now? Now, I said that the letter content of that advance varies. The letter content of the promise varies. But the substance is the same. The substance is who? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for this. Now that I know, even if you don't grab anything, grab this. Are you with me now? Are you with me? So, when God spoke to Abraham and told him, leave your father's house, that is an advance that he's making. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Abraham obeyed, God gave him a promise. As he continued walking with him, to reestablish the fact that he cannot fail in his promise. That's what the book of Hebrews is saying. He gave him an oath. Seeing that there is nobody higher than him to swear by, he swore by himself. Are you following me now? Are you with me? The substance of that advance that God made. Remember that the letter, God told Abraham, leave. He told Moses, do this. He told the other one, do another one. So it means that the letter of the instruction or command varies. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the substance is one, Christ. So, when God told Abraham to leave his father's house, it represents something in Christ. That means the substance of that instruction, that advance that God made, is who? Christ. Number two. When the patriarchs accepted the advance of God, the next thing that God does is to give the patriarch a promise. Are you getting the point? If God did not promise, there is no basis to continue. So there are promises that God gave them. Huh? That promise formed a basis for hope. And since it has not manifested yet, they will find a way to keep relating with the one that gave that promise so that the promise will what come to pass. The attempt to keep relating with the one that gave that promise so that it will come to pass is what it means to serve God. Is what it means to worship God. Because it is in continual relating with the person that gave the promise that the hope that the promise will be achieved can be realized. Let me combine 6, verse 6 and verse 7. Are you following me? Even just follow me. The remaining part, you can go back and listen to it. Is that okay? And now I stand. Where is Joshua Ike Gwonusef? Where is your husband? Oh, wow. I want this scripture to be two. Like, display 6 and 7 for me. Who can help me so that you can help me? That is, if I read and go back and go back, I want to read the two of them as one, which is what it is actually, so that the meaning can be good. Oh my God. Let's read it together. One, two, ready, go. No, now. This is verse 7. Where is 6? Magabahas. Amen. 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 Let's read it from your own Bible. Verse 6 and verse 7. Open your Bible. Let's read it. If you are there, say amen.
Amen. We saw 12 tribes, even now deciding God, clear and mind, who was to come, for which God said, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews.
Let's read it again.
And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, even now deciding God, clear and mind, who was to come, for which God said, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews.
So, what you first see from this scripture is, I'm not the one saying it, I will prove it with scripture, that God preached his gospel to the patriarchs, strange, and it is important that they accept it. Because in the matter of the gospel, as I was telling you people yesterday, the two parties must have something to gain. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the promise is more like God telling the patriarchs what you are going to gain if you join me in this adventure. But he needs somebody to accept the gospel. You know why? It is within the content of the gospel that God can advance his purposes. and he needs men to accept that gospel. When the gospel prospers, first thing that will happen is that the people that accepted the gospel will be blessed on the basis of their accepting the gospel. Number two, the one that gave the gospel will achieve his end through the men that accepted the gospel. So the gospel is the summary of all the promises and covenants that God made with the patriarchs. Now the problem with this, in this context now, as of now, is that it is still a promise. This is the basis of, are you with me? If you have studied, maybe you listen to Kenneth Hagin one or two times, you will hear him use a very striking phrase that is called promissory notes. Huh? This is the foundation of that. The foundation of this is that God wrote promissory notes when he made... Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like, let me use chiking first as I'm using it. When you tell again, Kai, I like you, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. The girl look at you and say, oh, busy. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Pack your load and go. Even if you convince the damsel with money, if the money is no more there, you become OBC again. Don't blame anybody. Now, this is it. If you move to another damsel and say the same thing, and she says, okay. I hope you know that sometimes, as of the moment, you might not be able to give everything to that damsel. Mostly what men come to in the table of shaking and advancement is promises. No, be so. I promise you, I will take you around the world. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I promise you, I will do what? I will take
you
around. I will take you to Ibiza, to Maldives, to Monaco. I promise you the best of the world. I will take you to the moon and back. I will give you the best of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Go and look at your family. Give me 10 years. You will be the best in your family. I will make sure that you are a star. I will put you in the spotlight. I will... Hey, keep speaking, oh. Are you with me? I'm trying to tell you what God did. He spoke to the point that Abraham was convinced. Are you seeing how I'm progressing now? It is not just one word that... In fact, sometimes... If he looks as if Abraham wants to give up, he will appear again and say another thing. That's how a man gets a lady to partner and covenant him. Sometimes, maybe after 6 months, doubt will enter. You need to come again, give two or three promises and clear the doubt. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes,
every man that wants a complete partnership in purpose with another person must be armed with promises. What you can bind another person with to walk the path of purpose with you is promises. Now, remember, I am speaking about God, because the promise of man, any man, is equal to the person giving it. So if you are not trustworthy, then your promise is not trustworthy. But if God that gave that promise is trustworthy, then we can trust the promise as much as the one that what gave it. Are you getting the point? So God gave the patriarchs a promise. To back it up, he gave them a covenant. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he continued to appear to them, reminding them that what he said is true and is going to fulfill it. Are you getting what I'm saying, man? But the real thing is that the substance of that promise has not yet appeared. It has not yet been revealed. I'm not saying it is not existing. It has not yet been revealed. Nonetheless, it is a true thing. Okay? And because it is a true thing, it is truth in God's context, I can write an overdraft for you. So promissory notes are like overdrafts that you wrote to somebody, knowing that by the time that that salary is paid, you can get back the money that you gave the person in advance. So by promise, God gave an advance. So many of those patriarchs experienced and came into things whose manifestation is still in the future. Huh? But because the substance of what they believed, the promises that they were given, is a real thing in God, they can be written a promissory note. So it is sure. And for God, he is not moved, because you know he will make good his words. But we are men. So, for example, they used Abraham to prove it. Sometimes you are shaking, you shook. Man pressure, persecution, time, all kinds of things will happen. God, knowing that, did not leave that man like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he appears once in a while, tell him, look at the skies. He look at the sand of the seashore. He says, so will your children be. The man that want to give up will come back again and enter the labor. Are you getting the point? The manifestation of the labor is not yet there, but he's killing himself as if he's there. Are you with me? There must be a means through which we can link up the promise with substance. If not, we will give up. The reason why faith appeared is to link up promise with substance. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is what every patriarch that walked with God had, and suddenly the person is brought into what is, in fact, you are a patriarch because you possess that. At whichever junction that happened to a patriarch or happened to somebody that God made an advance to, that person has become a patriarch. It is because of that that all patriarchs were able or only related with God on the basis of faith. Because what they were given was promises. They did not see it. Huh? They did not see it. When they want to faith, God will give them a covenant. If they want to faith, he will do a mighty manifestation. But the main thing has not happened. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying God is not acting, but the main thing has not happened yet. So because of that, it is expected that somebody should not believe. But because there is actually a substance of that promise in the spirit, if a man believes, he has it. It is only a matter of time it will be revealed in this physical earth. Are you with me now? So the Bible said, now I stand and I'm judged for the hope. So every patriarch that now received promise as a result of the fact that he accepted the advance of God, advances of God, had hope now. Their hope is this, that one day God will make good on his promises. What's their hope? One day God will make good on their. What is that day? That day that God will make good his promise, it is the day of the Christ. Because it is that day, as soon as, when you don't know how important the death and resurrection of Jesus is. It is not just about the fact that he saved us. It is about the fact that he substantiated all the hopes of the patriarchs, without which all that they believed and walked with God would have been in vain if Jesus did not succeed in his adventure. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So in that context, he's the substance of the promises that God made in the advances of the gospel that he preached to the patriarchs. So Christ is the substance. Now he said, and for the hope of the promise of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes, what? Instantly. What?
God.
Day and night, hope to what? Come. That means
that promise better than them a hope. And every man that has hope behaves in a certain way. Is it not true?
The proof of your hope is the way you start behaving, the way you start living. And as I told you people, their worshiping and serving of God continually is a proof that they hope that one day God will make good on his promises. So this is how it all started. It all started when God made an advance to the patriarchs. So Paul is trying to say that you are judging me based on that. That even though those men began to serve God, that when the manifestation or the substance of what
they began to do that time manifested, many of them were not aware. That what I'm doing now, that's what Paul is saying, is a manifestation. I'm preaching the same gospel that our fathers hoped that one day this reality will manifest. And he's trying to tell them that that day has appeared. That the appearance of Christ, whom we preach now, is the substance that has appeared of the things that God told what? The patriarchs. And they had hope that God will fulfill his promise. And the proof of that hope is that they began to what? Serve him. They kept serving him. Kept serving him. So, Jesus now came. And Jesus now came. Paul now said, let's keep preaching so that people will know that that thing we have been hoping for, it has appeared. Let's stop hoping now and step into the reality. Which can only be done by faith. So, but they kept hoping. And that is some people that the light of the gospel has not broken onto. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
I want to show you the foundation of the gospel that is preached in the scripture. The Son of God, listen, the gospel is about the Son of God. Write it down. The gospel is about Jesus, the Son of God. Write it down. I will explain better. Write it down. Write it down. Are you with me? God wants to describe his Son. He wants to reveal his Son. He wants to impart his Son. He wants to prosper his Son. He wants his Son to be preeminent. And because of it, ab initio, he made all things by the Son. The gospel now is the preaching unto men of the plans that God had ab initio. Are you getting it now? Now, it has to be the gospel of the Son because that is the only means through which men can be included in God. Let me come again. Are you with me? I'm trying to, sometimes if you don't set an accurate pathway, people just believe disjointedly and you cannot link up through all the scripture because the scripture has a consistent thought. The gospel is not just Jesus died, you need to give your life to Christ. It's bigger than that. You see, that might be good enough for the evangelist. But if that's the only thing, after you are born again, so we should keep hanging around the church. Are you getting what I'm saying? The gospel is the fact that God wants to work everything. First of all, he has worked everything by and in his Son. And he wants people to know about it. And because he wants people to know about it, he went about in all circumstances, shades, and dimensions to describe his Son. To reveal his Son. Are you seeing it now? Because everything is what? In the Son. So the gospel is about the Son. Say after me, the gospel is about the Son of God.
The gospel is about the Son of God.
Can we say it again?
The
Can we say it again? Every time the gospel is preached, it is the Son and His works that is advanced to you, that is presented to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it is beyond salvific labors. And when I speak salvific labors, I speak mostly in the context of the atonement. Because God still has a project running that was truncated by the fall, of which after rectifying that, the project will keep running. And the project before, during, and after, listen to me, it can only be the Son of God that could rectify the challenge that we had in sin. You know why? There is no other means through which the Godhead can deal with things except in the Son. Whether He's creating, recreating, rectifying, any kind of thing that needs to be done by the Godhead can only be done in and through what? The Son. So once man had a challenge, we must find a way to bring the Son in this visible realm. Are you getting what I'm saying? As we advance in the teaching, we will just touch. In fact, the major point of my teaching is to, by the help of the Holy Spirit, maybe tomorrow, we will have to discuss the King's Man Redeemer extensively. I was on a flight, and the Holy Ghost said, the King's Man Redeemer. I wrote it down. So I knew that that's the fulcrum. I can't jump there, I will fall. So to get there is labor. Justice. To get there is labor. The King's Man, what? Redeemer. Just check it through the scripture. As I move forward, I will touch a little about the law, because some of the things that was manifested in grace, the shadows were shown us in the law. And this thing, that this concept that I just spoke about now, is also contained in the law. Is it not true? Can I give you an example? Ruth and Boaz. The context, the picture. Is it not Ruth? Is it not Ruth? Yes. And Boaz. The picture that is painted there is that it is only a kinsman that can redeem that woman. And it's not just any kinsman, it is the closest kinsman. Except the closest kinsman abdicates his duty, then the next person can take up. And there are specific qualifications of the kinsman redeemer. Are you seeing it now? So we need to bring back that woman into the family. But for us to do it, one member of the family has to volunteer. And that member has to have a few characteristics. And that is why when Jesus was here upon the face of the earth, wise people were busy calling him God, Son of God. He's busy calling himself what? Son of Man. You know why? It is fundamentally important to the project of God that it is a king's man. A king's man that engages it. If Jesus is not our king's man, and I'm not just talking about the matter of redemption, I'm talking about the matter of the eternal purposes of God. It will take a king's man to bring us into the purpose of God. Are you getting it? So the foundation of the gospel preached is that a king's man has appeared to bring us into God. The uniqueness of Jesus here is that he shared fully the Godhead, the deity, and shared fully humanity. Are you getting the point? So he is the melting point of all purposes by sheer nature. By what? Nature first. Not achievement, by nature. In him was found the full qualities of a man that can fully represent man and fully represent what? God. So the purpose, the demands of the heavens, we are fully met in him.
and the demands of humanity were fully what? Met in him. So he became the melting point of purposes. And because of it, in the context with the heavenlies, he's their kinsman. In the context with humanity, he's what? Their kinsman. So it is in him that God and man met. And the purpose of God can be fully manifested. It is not just enough to desire to do it. You will first of all be what? A kinsman. Now, this is the important thing I need you to know. The kinsman redeemer is not somebody that just saves. It is somebody that brings into inheritance. Because as soon as Boaz married Ruth, she is automatically brought in as an heir. So, seeing that all inheritances of the heavens is bequeathed into Christ, if Christ ever calls us his brethren by any means, are you with me? It means that we are automatically brought into co-heirship. It is in that context that the true intent of kinsmanship is met. Not just in saving us, but in bringing us into the purpose of God. If we do not by any means share in the heavenly kinsmanship, then we cannot execute for the heavens. We can only operate and execute as men. Huh? So for the purpose of God, we need a kinsman whom heaven has approved. But I'm coming back to it. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Show me Romans chapter. Romans chapter 1. Careful. Alpha. Are you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Should I stop?
No, sir.
If you are blessed, say I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
If I say I am personally blessed.
I am personally blessed.
You might not be able to say for your neighbor. Huh? If you ask me, I will say you are blessed. You like this, you are learning. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
Precious Okafu, I hope you are learning something. Very good. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto what? Let's read that last phrase together. 1, 2, ready, go.
Separated
I'm not hearing you again.
Separated
again. Again. So, if you read your Bible, this phrase now sits as the overbearing compass that will determine where the rest of everything that will be spoken in the book of Romans is talking about. So the book of Romans is actually the documentation of the gospel of God as it flows through the vessel of Paul. Are you getting what I'm saying? It went through, forget all the undulatings, the mountains and all that. The first thing you need to know is that a man is separated unto the gospel of God. And whichever thing he is about to tell you now is the flow of that gospel through his vessel. So pay attention to that phrase. If your Bible is your own, underline the gospel of God. Edojuku, where is your Bible? You threw it away. This sister that I gave my personal... I gave my personal jotter. Where is your brother? Huh? Tell him I asked about it.
So what did I say? If your Bible is your own, underline what? The gospel of God. You know why I chose this? It is to explain to you, because if we just say the God, let me say it so that you understand, because some people say the gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the gospel of God is about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. It doesn't matter when it was preached, whether the one preached to the patriarchs. Listen, the reason why Paul used the gospel of God here is that he wants to bind up all generations that ever heard the gospel. Are you getting the point? He wants to bind up all generations, because you cannot say now from his utterance that the gospel was not advanced to the patriarchs. But since Jesus himself has not appeared, to be contextually correct, he called it the gospel of what? God. But the gospel of God is about the Son. Can I even find a scripture that specifically says this? Let me search. Is there? Let's see the next verse. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the what? Holy Scriptures. Next verse. Can we read the first phrase there? One, two, ready, go. So wait. So the gospel of God is what? Concerning his Son Jesus Christ. What? Simple, straightforward. The gospel of God concerns the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What? As simple as what we just said is, take it. Take it as a lifetime investment and keep it. You will need it till you get to heaven. For if you get to heaven, I will most likely tell you that the lecture will be on, because we will not finish learning the Son. The gospel is an invitation to learn the Son of God, because in him God fully described himself and described all his purposes. So when a man receives the gospel, he is invited to learn the Son. Everything that God wants to speak about that will bring us into a realm that we never even imagined is possible for a mortal man, he did so in the gospel. And that gospel is concerning what? His Son. If you are blessed so far, say amen.
Amen.
I believe we are progressing. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
By the time we are through, you would have learned so much that it will look as if you became old. You know, there is a way you learn a lot from a session. You just knew that you became an older Christian. Is that not true? There are classes like that. And if you're a man of God, you need to get grip. Not just that you know, you need to get grip the way I'm presenting it. It's very important. Listen, it's not enough to know the truth as a man of God. It's also important that you present the truth well. There is a way you present the truth, it will not be able to achieve the end of God. It will just lie there. It will not drive any man to do anything. It can't get anything. But it just lies there. But there is a way you present the truth. As somebody is hearing it, anybody that has even a logical mind, I'm not even saying a spiritual mind, I'm saying a logical mind, we start making assumptions and conclusions and decisions for himself. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
Any man that now has a spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, there is a way you present the truth, they will start making conclusions for themselves beyond what you are presenting. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
As you are hearing me now, you have already started making mental notes. Am I correct? You have driven to some point and you are moving. You met roadblock, turn, reverse, followed another. How many of you are like that? I will say one or two things, then you drive it, met roadblock, came back. I said, let me hear him again. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
It is all about presentation. There is a way you present, people will still remain shallow, even when you are talking about serious things. And there is a way you even speak about things in quotes that is not too serious, and people will be driven into dimensions that you never expected. And I pray for you, man of God. May God give you capacity in presenting the truth. Yeah. Let's read one more verse. I will still read all of them again. And declared to be the Son of God with what? Power. Number two, according to the Spirit of what? Holiness. By the resurrection of from what? The dead. Okay. So whosoever, God knows who is his son. Okay, let me even ask you. Get a mic. Justice, who is the son of God? The best you can tell me is Jesus Christ. Is it not true? There is a few threshold requirements that whosoever claims to be the Son of God must be able to surmount. If the person cannot surmount it, it is just a mere claim. So this is it. We don't know who is the Son of God except the one that ever had the capacity to break through those thresholds. And according to Paul, he said here that anybody can do many things. But he said these three now. It is the means through which God specifically declared. That means these characteristics now is fundamentally exclusive to the Son of God. This is what we mean. It means that he is the first in that way that God revealed himself, made a witness over. Like, I'm not saying that's the only time. I'm saying as far as this order is concerned, this is the first like this. Whosoever says claims is the Son of God must therefore meet these three criteria. So we don't know who. Even John that was sent said he doesn't know. He said, but him that sent me told me, on whomsoever the Spirit comes to rest and not to go, that person is the Son of God. The first time ever that the Spirit came on a human and rested. I'm not saying that's the only time. Are you following me? Yes, that's not the only time. In fact, the intention of... Bro, where are you? I saw you in my visions. Uzube, where are you now? They are looking for you. Chat me after this service. Are you getting the point? After that time, all of us now shared in that fullness. But before that time, he is the first that received that fullness. The first. That's number one. So that's it. You know this thing. This one, at least, you know it. You don't know him? These people. I've used this portion of the scripture to. But maybe it's because it's explosive messages. But I've used this verse 4 a lot. Is it not true? I've used it a lot. So he said, the Spirit of holiness. Then the resurrection from the dead. I think the blockbuster is resurrection from the dead. That's the everything. Okay? That's everything. So whoever we are, you getting what I'm saying? You see those pictures that they are painting and say this is Jesus. You don't know him. I doubt any of those pictures of Jesus. Personally, I doubt them. I doubt Jesus ever looked like that. I'm telling you. Jesus most likely looked like you, Emenike, than those pictures. Most likely, physically, on earth. Because if you consider the Mediterranean region, but they have made him Caucasian. With one coily flowing. So handsome. If Jesus was that handsome, they would have... Okay, let me leave. Huh? There was not so much emphasis on his physical attribute. In fact, if you ask me, he's a nondescript personality. Because if he was outstanding physically, he would not need to be identified. If he's like Saul, that is head and shoulder above every person, would you need anybody to identify him? He's just another Jew. Looks common like me. There is no way to know. And he keeps making sure that, in fact, people look, not be carpenter's son. You know how carpenters look. Not be carpenter's son. He say, I am the son of God. Part of the reason why they killed him is not just that he claimed to be son of God. He's the kind of person making that claim. Because there is a way you look. If he is at least 2 feet taller than every Jew, are you with me? With broad shoulder, walking like this, and he said, I am the son of God. People look at it, the way this man is looking, it might be true. You see one man like this, this height, walking normal on, because I am the son of God. Amen. So physically, there is no scripture that suggests he looks imposing. I think it is even otherwise. Because everybody that saw him looked down on him and wanted to deal with him. You don't want to deal with somebody that is hefty like Ufondo. You don't want to deal with somebody that is hefty like where is Ibeto? Like Ibeto. Where is Ibeto? Mandolia Ganaha. He received the garment and escaped. Where is your brother? You can't claim you don't know his whereabouts. Huh? Huh? Okay, he was here earlier. Huh? Okay, he went. You sent him on errand. You should defend him now. If he's doing a ministry errand, you defend him. Amen. 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 Tell that man of God to come inside. I hope he's somebody, the person I think it is. Come now, man of God. Come and sit here. Follow this. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So let's read again from verse 1. Let's read again from verse 1. Let's lay line upon line. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be what? An apostle. Separated unto the gospel. Let him sit here. Separated unto the gospel of God. Next verse. Which he had promised afore by his prophets. Where? In the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David, according to what? The flesh. And declared to be the Son of God, with what?
Power.
Number 2, according to the spirit of what? Holiness. And by the resurrection from what? The dead. We want to discuss this gospel according to the Son of God. So the fundamental thing, as I told you people, is to note that the gospel of God is concerning
Jesus Christ, who? The Son of God. Can we say it together? One, two, ready, go.
The gospel of God is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Again?
The gospel of God is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
One more time.
The gospel of God is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Make sure, if you have not noted it, that you note it. I wrote here that the promise of the gospel and the promise in the gospel is the reason and basis for which the patriarchs began to worship God. The promise of the gospel and the promise in the gospel. What is it? It's straightforward. Okay? The promise of the gospel appeared when Jesus appeared. But that was not the end. There are still other things that will happen as a result of receiving the gospel. Are you with me? There are many. One of which is the ultimate resurrection. Another one is the salvation of your soul. Like, not the initial salvation of being born again, but the ultimate salvation, saving of your soul from its corrupt and what was the other word that was used? Mortality and what? Corruption and mortality will be taken away. This is part of the gospel and part of the things that the scripture spoke about. I think the book of 1 Timothy, is it not true? It is by the gospel that life and immortality was revealed. That means that the gospel goes beyond the fact that we just got born again. So the promise is the one that came when Jesus appeared physically. But there is also the hope in the promise, which is the progressive things we benefit from the gospel, or the final end of God's purpose. I don't know how long it's going to take. Okay? Both the appearance of the promise. The promise is that one day Jesus will appear and save all of us. The hope in the promise is that now that he has saved us, there are things that we now benefit and God is doing in you. Is that okay? Including the ones he will not be able to finish in this age, that he will continue in the age to come. All of these things are contained what in the gospel, which is why every person must hear the gospel. The reason is not just because it gets you saved, but that is where God declares, unveils his purposes in such a way that you can participate in it. So if you don't hear the gospel, or the measure to which the gospel has seated in you is the measure to which you can benefit from the promise that is in, where? In the gospel. The gospel is a full package that explodes like a nuclear atomic reaction. So when it explodes in you, it does so much that the end of it is the full actualization of the purpose of God. The impact is in your spirit, soul, and body. The impact is in time and eternity. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Are you sure you are with me? Are you sure you are with me? Okay. Remember the scripture that we read in the book of Acts chapter 26, am I correct? I want us to compare scripture with scripture, because we want to just move to the next level. But for us to move, we need to link up where we are coming from with where we are going. Is that okay? Is that okay? By the time I'm through with reading this place, you tell me what is suitable to take from here and enter. I want to, You know, like you come in a place, enjoy everything, but you look at it and say, this one can still serve in the other place. It's just a phrase. Let me see if we can pick it. And now I stand and I'm judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto what? Our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of what? The Jews. So, what's the distinguishing feature of this place that I read now? Let me just help you. The promise unto the fathers. That is what we are going to take from here. What did I say? The promise unto the fathers. To make it complete, the promise that God made unto the fathers. Hebrews chapter 11. Show me the last two verses. Remember I said that we are shifting from here on the basis of this thing. Now, we established what we have been doing so far is to establish the found how God crafted out what is the gospel in relation with the fathers. Is that okay? Now, let's see how it progressed and how it got us involved. Let me ask you again. What did God give the fathers? Let me ask it again. According to scriptures, what did the God give the fathers? The promise. What did he give the fathers?
The
what did he give the fathers?
The
what did he give the fathers?
The
so look at this now. Can you join 39 and 40 together, my sister? Is that the last verse? Huh? There is 40 there now. Hey, Jesus. Goodness. No, sister, goodness. You need to go and learn this properly, sister. Let's read it together. One, two, ready, go. The first thing, as I said, concerning the gospel is that God made a promise. Huh? That God did what?
Made a promise.
Never forget it. So we have just advanced from there. Hmm? And this all, who is the all here? Are you following the scripture? Remember I told you that the gospel is first rested on the foundation of the promise that God made to the fathers after they accepted the advances that he made to them. Okay? And these all, who are the patriarchs, of which if you start from verse 1, you already know. They mentioned many, starting from Abraham. Is that true? They mentioned many of these fathers and patriarchs. He said, and these all, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. Okay. So, this is what the scripture is trying to say. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
It means, this scripture is simple. It means that I attended a wedding in Brazil. It's not like Nigerian wedding. Hey, my brother. Nigerian wedding, you are cooking for your village. Don't be smart, you know. To cook for Nigerian wedding, whether traditional or what, na labor. including people you don't know. You will see it. Your mother will come with people you don't know. Your father, your brother, they will come with people you don't know. Your mother will come with your villagers because they need to see her Ada. Huh? And they, knowing they are coming for wedding, if they ever eat, make I know. They will not eat in the house. Huh? It is in your wedding. The plan for that day's eating is in your wedding. They will eat well, eat another plate, drink two cans of malt, hide three in the bag. Huh? And carry some food in flax for children at home. Huh? Nylon. Nando Hassa. But I went for a wedding in Brazil. Before you come, man of God, they will send you your invitation card as a barcode. They sent me barcode. According to that wedding, it's planned for, I think, 50 to 100 guests. If you like, come down and say, I know this guy. I went to primary school with him. It's a barcode. Say after me, barcode. The only thing that gives you access is if you can produce a barcode. So this is what I'm trying to say. The good report here is like that barcode that we give these men access in the day that their promise is substantiated. Are you seeing it now? God made specific demands from them and they met it. Huh? The actions they took in response to that demand is not the substance yet, but God counted it as a report good enough. Are you following me? God counted it as a report good enough to administer a barcode to them, so that in the day that substance appears, they can present the barcode and participate and benefit of the things which they labored in according as God demanded from them. Don't blame them. You might think they are not perfect, they miss something. It's not about perfect or good behavior. It's about doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's about the fact that they did that one that God said do. The other ones you thought they did not do well, that's your own. That's your own cup of tea. What is important is that when God told Abraham, leave, he left. Are you getting what I'm saying? When God told David, build me, do this, he did it. That's important. When God told Moses, come up to the mountain, what did he do? He did. As soon as he did that, God said, hey, this guy obeyed me. Writing it in his report card. By the time they were through in those journeys, which is just letters. Let me not say letters. It is just shadows. Huh? God looked at it and it met his requirement to give them a good report. And that good report handed them a barcode, waiting for the day that the substance of the promise will be revealed. Why? According to the scripture, it said, and these all who are the patriarchs, having obtained a good report, how? By obeying God in all the demands that he made specifically upon all their lives, through faith. Why is it through faith? Because the things they are acting, not seeing. Are you getting me? They are acting. God say, act. I will give you the stars and me see. Did he see anything? Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. God told them to act because of what he told them. Like somebody told you, I will give you the stars of the heaven, or you act. Huh? Why are they acting? Because of that. They now acted, they didn't see it. Are you getting where I'm going now? So they wrote it down. We are owing these guys. Are you get this thing I'm saying? God told them, If you do this, if you give me your son, I give you this. If you give me a house, if you live in holiness, if you do this, I will give you this. When they did it, that thing that God said he will do, they didn't see it immediately. You know what God said? He said, this guy did this thing the way I told her to do it. But the time has not yet come for we to supply this thing that we promised her. What are we going to do? Tell her we are owing you. And the proof that we are owing you is your report card. So they now carry that report card, waiting for the day that that promise will manifest. And Jesus manifested specifically first to repay the fathers. Why did he manifest? To repay the fathers. If not, they have believed in vain. If not, their reward has gone. Are you following me? Number two, to bring us in. And because of that, the scripture said, God having provided some better things for us, that they, without what? Us. So it is two things. The labor of Jesus is two directional. First, towards what? Second, towards us. Is that okay? Are you getting it? First, towards the fathers. Because they obeyed, they were promised something. Somebody promised you, if you run 100 miles, I will give you 1 million. Huh? You obeyed and ran 100 miles. Huh? He told you that, that 100 million is now yours. I mean, 1 million is now yours. But we cannot release that money now. Huh? What will happen is that, take a check. So he postdated the check. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that by the time the check will mature, that 100 million is already in the account. So every one person that acted because of the promise that God gave and kept acting, some of them kept acting till they died in the acting, God gave all of them a good report. Huh? Kept them one side. Okay? And because there is a better thing that God had in heart, it is the unification of all his purposes in all ages, which will be where? You are correct. Which will be where? Thank you very much. So he said, I am not limited by time passing. Why don't I wait to unite the hope of the fathers with the faith of the sons? So what happened is that the fathers had a promise and they were hoping that one day it will manifest. It happened before. I hope you know that thing that happened 2,000 years ago, let me explain to you. Eh? Anybody before, this is the fathers. Anybody that stood with God in his promise before Jesus manifested in the flesh, is counted as what? You are correct. Anybody that stood with him after Jesus manifested in his sacrifice is counted as what? Us or the sons. You are correct. So first, the promise is the son. The things promised, like God gave his son, then gave things in accompaniment to his son. For example, he anointed you in the son. There are many things. Tell me what you benefited. There are many, even from here. But the first thing that God promised was what? His son. And it was fulfilled. Then after you have received the son, you will receive things in the son. So the promise and the things that is in the promise. Is that okay? So he said they received not the promise. Who is the promise? The son now. The manifestation of the son. God having provided the better things for us, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect. This is the second step. The third step, Romans chapter 15. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are not there, say wait for us. Where are you? If you don't plan to be there, say waste your time. Let's see verse 6 or 7. that he may be, just start in 6, that he may be, are you there?
Yes.
Pay attention. If you miss me, you miss. Just stay with me. It is simple and straightforward as long as you stay with me. That he may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord, what? Jesus Christ. Next verse. Kai, we will have another bedpans on Friday evening. Bro, carry your wife, run, then we continue our. Because I need to feel, there is something, I need to compare law and grace. I need to compare it very well. I need to do a very good. I cannot, of course, I cannot finish it, but I need to do something strong enough to give anybody a basis for further studies. Is that okay? It's actually straightforward, just there in the Bible. But you have to know how to present, to link up the thoughts of God in all generation and in all scripture. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to what? The glory of God. I love Paul. He said, receive ye one another as Christ received us. That means we are not qualified to be received into the glory of God. Is that not true? For all have sinned and come short of the glory, but Christ, the man in glory, received us into the glory of God. Is that okay? Having not deserved it, he now said, look at your brother, whether he deserves it or not. Do to him what Christ did for you. Because you not deserving to be a participant of the glory was brought into it as of the benevolence of Christ. You too should have enough benevolence to receive one another. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Next verse, verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read it again. 1, 2, ready, go.
Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto our fathers.
Can we read again?
Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto our fathers.
Let's read that last phrase together. 1, 2, ready, go.
To confirm the promises made unto our fathers.
Again. 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 I think you should underline it. What do you think? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. The next thing is too profound that it should be held sacred. How sacred should we hold this portion of the scripture and the sort like it to confirm? To confirm the promise made unto the fathers, Jesus Christ. I'm glad. God is faithful. He can keep his word. The fathers did not believe in vain. That means we cannot. At least we have seen through the scriptures, if not anything, that the promise that God made to the fathers has been realized in Jesus. Huh? The remaining parts can still be realized. And if there is any that we have not entered into, we can rest assured that the one that was faithful enough to bring his son through, because part of the reason it is a hard thing is God did not just strike for me, brother. God did not just bring his son through by an easy means. The path to bring Christ as a confirmation is a hard road. It is the toughest road that deity has passed through. If you consider the fact that man fell in sin, are you getting the point? That is why it is the gospel. It's too good to believe. The path that man walked through when he fell, it is a tough path. But the son said, here I am, send me. Here I am what?
Send me.
He must appear. If not, the promises that God made to the fathers is in vain. He must appear to confirm it. That means, as God was making promises to the fathers, he must have perfected the roadmap. He must have perfected the means through which he will bring to pass the promise that he made to who? The promise that he made to who?
The fathers.
Jesus must come to confirm that promise. The challenge is that man has now sinned. The pathway to realize that promise that was made is only residing in the heavens. Where is he residing? In the heavens. Any time that God ever decides to make true on his word, the heavens have to act first. God made promise. Am I correct? Any day he decides to make true. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. For what? Do the rock. For what? For what? Any day God decides to make that thing a reality, the heavens have to act. You know why? There is no capacity residing on the earth. Only the heavens have to act. The initiative has to come from what? The heavens. Listen to me. The oppressions in relation to heaven and earth is ascension and descending. Ascending and what? Descending. If you have ever ascended, you will find out that it is death to descend. Is that not true? You will find out that the distance from heaven to where Jesus actually... I don't like this sound. Look for something. I'm not looking for a song. The distance from heaven to earth is so far that God has to craft a master plan that is iron tight to make sure that in that journey, even the one that decided to embark on it will not be lost in it, because there are many variables that is included in it, including the fact that a woman will give birth in Bethlehem in Judea. Herod is there, all manner of things, hoping that human beings that are not dependable will play their part well. Imagine if they did not. Are you getting the point? God was working over time. Because it is not just that that man will appear. He will appear as man and pass through the redeems of humanity. Suffer. The Bible said we have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. It means that he passed through other rooms. How do you keep that variables in check? The only way to ensure that the variabilities that come with, the unpredictability that comes with the human folk can be dealt with, is to simply hold up everything in the heaven. But unfortunately, it has to descend. What will happen? Descend. So the son have to descend. The distance from that heaven to earth is so much that even the father and the son were in pain. For God not to turn back on his promise, he gave an oath. fiande como po sizava handia. Hande koma hapa.
As I spoke, I'm carried in the spirit. As I spoke, I am carried in the spirit. I just saw an elder walking before me in the spirit. He said, this is the path we passed. Walk in it. When God catches and captures a man, he doesn't know the end. He cannot fully explain to you. He gives you a promise. The day the things he told you begins to manifest, even you self will not know that he got to that extent. I'm not sure even Abraham knew how far what God was advancing to him is. I'm not sure he knows. I'm not sure he knows. I was telling somebody today, I think my brother Jimmy, I was telling him in the office today, I said, even Abraham did not know that it is not possible for God to appear on earth except that his covenant with God is recognized as the template and tarmac upon God can land. How much honor have God placed on man? Sometimes I want to ask God to exclude us in the show, seeing that we are not trustworthy. But he has vowed. He knows. Listen. Don't tell me that God doesn't know, because he knows that man is not trustworthy. When he spoke in the book of Genesis chapter 6, he said, my spirit shall no more strive with man, because he's what?
Flesh.
He's flesh.
I thought he would stop, but he kept searching.
He kept searching. I know that in my generation, God will find me and find you. He will advance covenants that will make him not to change his mind. Because there might be days we will not behave properly. So God made sure that the gospel is standing upon a covenant he cut with men, never to be broken. Because there are days things will happen and God will look at it and say, Kai, this young man that I'm trying to help, all the time you are running back to master. What are we going to do? He will want to go back. He will turn. Jesus will say, you owe me. Leave this young man. Leave him. Leave him for me. Leave him. There is still hope. There is still hope in this young man. He's so bad. Everything that the way he's weak, he's too weak, he's too down, he's not making it, including him, he's disappointed in himself. I stand many times, I ask God, what do you see in me? Because I'm not seeing anything in me. Raise up your hand if you see something in you. You see something that I'll tell you, see, you see something that, you know, God will look at you and say, Kai, I'm gonna use you. That is why you will fail the examination. That thing you think is your qualification must have been what is disqualifying you. The gospel is a declaration that God in his son made a covenant that anybody that believes in the son, that person, God can keep working and advancing his purposes with the man, irrespective of what is innately weak in your flesh in Adam. So many times we misbehave. God will look beyond it and look at the covenant. There are terrible things. Terrible things in man. Terrible things in this world. Terrible things in darkness. No wonder the scripture said, have respect unto thy covenant. This small boy is not capable of walking this path. I've not been here before. Hold my hands, Jesus. Hold my hands. 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 Hold my hands.
He said, pour the least from earth to the heavens, where the purposes of God advances beyond our imagination. And that is why many times God demands of you something and your response is obedience, not calculation. Because the things we speak about is beyond your imagination. What the gospel contains, I know you people spoke about or understanding. You spoke about understanding. How much can you understand? If it is not for the mercy of God, where will you even be for now? In now, where will you even be? Where will you even be? Huh? Lord, go beyond me. Huh? If I understand, may my soul be blessed. If I don't understand, show me mercy. The way I'm looking at you, the way I'm looking at myself. Are you getting what I'm saying? God must advance beyond the things that came from us. He must stand on a sure ground. Eh? He must stand on the rock that is Christ. That is the plane from which he can speak to us. If he spoke on any other ground, we will be consumed. Jesus is the ground that he needs to stand. Are you getting the point? And all men that we survive, we have to clear up all the obscurities that cover the ground of Christ and make sure that God indeed is seeing that ground. Because he can't come. He can't come. We have to declare that ground specific. We have to make it exclusive so that he can come on that ground. Your will is not strong enough. Your discipline is not strong enough. Huh? Your actions are not strong enough. It's only Christ that has the ability to act well. And he has acted in the gospel. He is the one that has the ability to live well. He has lived in the gospel. He is the one that has the ability to think properly. He has thought and invested his mind. Where? In the gospel. He is the one that knows the way. He has transversed all possible realms. He has invested it in the gospel. And every power and ability that is required for us to run our days on earth and eternity has been charted, invested in the Christ. The gospel is an invitation to tread those holy paths. Show me Jesus. Because my strength will fail me if you don't show me. Allow me to walk the ancient paths. May I see the things that mortal men are afraid. There is a path that no fowl know it. The vulture's eyes have not seen it. It is the path that makes a villager at Oba now a co-heir with Christ of the heavens. Who are you? To even think of it is an abomination. You are supposed to be killed for even thinking about it. Yet the scripture said that he was not ashamed to call us brethren. I choose to believe you, Jesus. Even though sometimes your mind can be struggling with the weight of the truth and facts that is contained here, unfortunately, you will not be able to act properly if you don't believe properly. Listen, are you with me? Listen, if Jesus said you are righteous, if the scripture says so, you are not righteous because you acted righteous. In fact, you can only act righteous after you have believed it. If you do not believe it, there is no substance for proper action. The substance of proper action, proper living, is in the fact that you have accepted what the scripture said. And in all the places that we struggle, it is because we have not properly believed. We have not properly accepted the exact grounds of God on that matter. The day it comes, it will trigger something in our heart. That trigger begins to lead us in continued obedience to the place that we never knew is possible. I tell you the truth in God, I lie not. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Sometimes Paul turns and looks at himself. He said, I'm not worthy to preach the gospel. I, the one that persecuted people, arrested people and killed them. What am I doing here? What am I even doing here in the first place? That's why he was jealous. Anytime he sees a man about to obscure the mercy and grace that God revealed, of which he is a chief beneficiary, he was. You know why he was? He said himself that there are sinners. He is the chief among them. So if there is somebody that deserves to die, he is the one. But he now calculated, whatever was included in the gospel has the capacity to save even the worst of the sinners. So when he sees a man about to obscure the gospel, he becomes angry. And I believe even physically angry, because he's wondering, if this man succeeds in obscuring the gospel, what will be the salvation of people? What will be the way out? The way out is in the gospel. We must find it. Are you hearing me? We must find it. You will pray in the next 1 minute and tell God, show me the ancient path. It has not changed. The patriarchs accepted it. Generation after generation, Jesus lives in heaven as the eternal high priest to substantiate the path of every man that lives on the gospel. That's why we operate the priestly ministry, to make sure that the things contained in the gospel becomes a reality in our experience. That's why Christ ever lived, to make sure you don't believe something that he said about you in the gospel and it doesn't happen. He ever lived so that anytime you cry and say, Abba, Father, it becomes a substance in your heart. When last did you feel it? He ever lived. My prayer for you today is that the office of the intercessory ministry of the Christ, as he lives as the high priest, will focus on you. In the next 1 week, let it be as if you are the only one that they know in heaven. Let your witnesses become a point of intercession in the heaven, because what you need has been catered for in the gospel. Why is it not manifested? It looks as if we are forgotten in the rooster of intercession. The chaos of the priesthood has removed us. There must be something we miss. Put me back. We are sustained in that manifestation because Jesus is acting today. He ever lived today to make intercession, to execute his priestly roles, so that what is spoken about you in the gospel can come to pass today. Everywhere you are, pray for the next 2 minutes. The mic, my friend. Grant your deep heart desires, the past that you never imagined. And some of the time you imagine it takes much more than you think, but it just takes just a simple sincere cry and the journey begins, a journey that ends in the heart of God. When God invited Abraham, he thought it was just something that will last just his lifetime. He didn't know God was inviting him into his heart. At the end, God said, Abraham, my friend. I don't know how Abraham walked and entered into the heart of God and God called him his friend. It was just a simple advancement that God made. But the man that accepted it finally ended up in the heart of God. May God grant us entrance into deep things in him. May we find this heart. May it be our possession. May he find amongst us truly his friends and confidants, his intimates. In Jesus' mighty name. There is more. There is more than physical acquisition. There is the path that the ancients walked. And even when they have lost everything physical and they have gone past this terrestrial plane, the substance of their work still stands strong before us, still potent. They walked apart. They didn't even know how big it was. It was looking simple to them in the beginning. But that was a defining moment for many generations. Everybody began to make reference to it, without which you can't move forward. It looks as if before you go forward, you go back and meet them. All they did was just obey and walk with God. Some of the time they didn't understand, still continued. Is God in it? Are you the one, Lord? I surrender, I follow. What they became beat their imagination. Initially, they actually thought they know how big what God was saying is. But I bet you that them, looking as witnesses from heaven, have seen that the inheritance that was given to a man like Abraham, when he looked at the skies, maybe he thought people were hanging in the air. He didn't know that the Lord is speaking about men of the spirit order. So every single person that came to God in Christ has become a descendant of Abraham by faith. He never knew, he just obeyed. May the Lord open our eyes in the name of Jesus. May he grant us the miracle of deeper sight. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you. Tomorrow we continue.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edubude Echiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Dey Chukwu. God bless you.